Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
You build your church. You build your church. We're your church. This world needs your church, whether it likes it or not. Holy Spirit, today we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in your role. We welcome you in your person. We welcome you as God here on earth, representing God, representing the Father and the Son here on earth right now. Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, here in person, online, watching, those who watch after, would understand the church is God's work. It's an embassy of heaven on earth. It's the government of heaven on earth. Lord, I pray that everyone would understand the relevance and the importance and the necessity of strong, healthy, Spirit-filled, Jesus-honoring, blood-washed, demon defeating, devil defying, living, breathing churches, oh God. And that we're it. So Lord, today I pray, open every heart, open every mind. Convict those who have a different opinion than yours. And establish your truth. Lord, we love you, we praise you. Just take a minute just to praise him right now. Just worship him. Come on. Spirit of God is in this place. His word is going to enter every heart that is open to receive. When the truth comes in, freedom comes in. Wherever you're at, whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whatever you're doing. If you're not part of church, you need to get a part of church. Don't make excuses anymore. Your excuses don't wash in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. It's talking about when Jesus is coming back. Let me ask you a question before we start. If Jesus came back next week, would you be ready? Would you be ready? If he came to take his church, would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Would you be in the right place, the right frame of mind, the right posture of heart? Because he's talking about when he comes back. It's not if he comes back, when he comes back. It says, when the Son of Man returns, that leaves no room for thinking that there's another option. When he returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings, right up to the time Noah entered the boat. In other words, life was just going on as normal. People were enjoying themselves. They were doing their thing. They were having a good time. They were partying. They were, you know, just living their own lives, taking care of their own business, just being normal. Life was going on. And then Noah entered the boat. So people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. You know, there's people in the world that we love, that we know, that we live next to, have got no idea that one day they're going to have to give an account to the Creator of all for the way that they've lived and the way that they've lived for Jesus Christ. Some of them don't even know who Jesus is. They think he's a myth or he's a legend or he's just something that's made up or just a curse word. They haven't got a clue. And one day they're just going to get swept away, man. But we know. And then he says this, check this out. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Woo. So here's a question for you before we start, before we get into it. Because I sense the presence of heaven overlooking this service today. Do you really understand what church is? And do you think it's relevant still in the days that we live in? This question, if you don't know it, or if you've got the wrong concept of it, or the wrong answer, or your mind's been twisted, or your heart's been twisted, or your direction's been shifted because of events that have taken place, because of things that have happened, because some people maybe haven't represented God in the right way, or whatever, whatever, whatever. If you haven't got the right concept of this, it's going to mess your life up and the lives of people up that God has called you to reach. Because if it's not relevant, church ain't relevant, then our lives as Christians are not relevant. And Paul said, listen, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, if all the things that we believe are not true and they're irrelevant, we are the most stupid people on the planet. Because we're doing without, we're living a different way, we're not doing what we want to do, we're not living how we want to live or the way that other people are living. We're sacrificing pleasure for the sake of what? Right? But if church is relevant, let me say it again. If church is relevant, then we are the most important people on the planet right now. I feel like making an altar call right now. I feel like just praying right now. But I've got a little word that I want to share to get us in the right concept and the right mindset. So I think things are shifting and changing at a pace. And I want us to be, as a church, I want us to be ready. I want us to be active. I want us to be in the right place for what God's going to be doing. I think God's speeding up history. How many of you know what I'm talking about? History's speeding up. You know, it's September 2023. How is that even possible? It was Christmas last week. It was January. It was... Right? But we're going to look at a couple of things today. So turn around, look at your neighbor and just tell them before you're seated, just say, you're relevant. So we want to look at a couple of ideas here today. I want to look at the concept of church a little bit. And I want to look at relevance. Because I think that Christians are the most relevant people around. Sometimes we see in the world around us that people think that Christians are irrelevant. We've got this sentimental little thing going on. We believe in the sky God, you know, this dude on a cloud and blah, blah, blah. You've got the scientists, the people that have the religion of science, saying that the scientific method can answer everything, which is, it can't even answer what gravity is. So it can't answer where the beginning was. It can't tell you where things came from. You know, they'll say that they can order everything. If you only just give them one miracle, all they want is one miracle. And that's the miracle of origin. Where did everything come from? They can't answer that. Then you have the atheists who just hate God because they live in the dark. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be accountable. And there's not that many of them. There's only like 6% of the world's population, which means that 94% of the world's population are not atheists. Amen? And you've got different belief systems. You've got a lot of Hindus. You've got a lot of Muslims. But how many of you know? I believe that Christianity is the most relevant. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm not sitting under a tree trying to get into the cosmic oneness. Right? Or, you know, praying five times a day. I'm going to the mosque. I'm a Christian. Because it was Jesus Christ that changed my life. And I looked into everything else. How many of you have looked into all different ways of meaning and being in the past? Come on, somebody. Right? How many people were into, you know, science and materialism before? How many of you just didn't care? You were ignorant and apathetic. You didn't know and you didn't care. Amen. You just lived your life. How many wizards did we have? And witches? I'm sure there was a couple of witches and wizards that we've had in the house. Right? They're normally the ones with the big nose, the long nose and the big pointed hat. Not really. Amen. That's just a caricature. Hallelujah. How many of you have studied a different type of religion? Hare Krishnas. We've had Hindus, Buddhists, amen, Muslims, all different types of things. But I believe Christianity is the most relevant, most coherent, most practical spiritual and supernatural system that there is. It's a reality. And I want to just look at how it works a little bit. So I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about church. And I believe that the last couple of years, from 2020 onwards, really exposed a lot of people's mad concepts about church. A lot of people's wrong concepts. I remember in the pandemic, people were talking about church is irrelevant. We don't need church anymore. Church is the problem. Why should I go to church? And all these different things were exposed. And what it exposed was, it exposed people's cracked and faulty understanding of what church is really all about. It's not that church is wrong, it's just that some people had wrong concepts of what church is all about. You had some people that thought that church was everything, and some people started to try and say that church was nothing. But what is church? I mean, if you've been abroad, let me see your hands. Praise the Lord. When I'm in America, I say how many people have been abroad, and everyone puts their hand up, and what they mean is they've been to Mexico. But in the UK, we've been to the West Indies, the Caribbean. How many of you have been to the Caribbean? Right? Africa. The continent of Africa in all these places. Europe. How many of you have been to Europe? What about Australia? How many of you have been to South America? How many of you have been to America? How many of you just don't like putting your hands up? If I said I'll give you a ticket to go anywhere you want right now, if you put your hand up, how many of you would put your hand up? All right. Amen. I'm not going to do it, but I just was checking. So the church is really an embassy of heaven. When you go to another country and you lose your passport, God forbid, what would you do? Go to an English person's house somewhere, random house, and just say to them, listen, you're an English person, I'm an English person, or British, or UK, you know, whatever technicality you want to use, right? I have a UK passport, a British passport. And would you go to someone's random house and just say, help me? They might give you some food. They might give you a cab fare. They might let you have a shower. But they ain't going to be able to give you a passport. But if you go to the embassy, you will be able to get the help that you really need. Why? Because the embassy of a nation is part of that nation in that other country. So the British Embassy in China does not belong to China. It belongs to the UK. It's sovereign territory. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? Yeah. And the same with China. The Chinese Embassy in England belongs to China. When you go there, you're no longer under the laws and the rules, come on somebody, of the nation that you're in. You're under the laws and the rules of the nation that you come from. That you belong to. Has any of you ever driven in a car and you've seen some random, in London we used to see this all the time, some randomly parked car on double yellow lines on the corner of a street blocking everything in with a dude in it in a suit. But on the number plate, it has a big D in the middle. That means it's a diplomatic plate, which means that they're not under the laws of the land. They can park wherever they want. They can take liberties as much as they want. Amen? You have to understand that churches are God's idea to be embassies of heaven. They're places of governmental authority. They're places that represent the place of origin. And churches represent heaven in the midst of alien societies and cultures. You can't, in a nation like, say, China or Russia or Pakistan or wherever it is, you can't just randomly go into the British Embassy and start telling them what to do. You can't do that. So why, and sometimes what you'll do is they'll respect the traditions. You've got to respect the traditions, right? You've got to understand that the nations have different traditions. But at the end of the day, you can't come in and dictate to the people in the embassy how they've got to live and what laws they've got to apply to their lives. Are you following me for the moment? But sometimes the world wants to do that in the church. And sometimes people in church allow the world to come in. When really it needs to be the other way around. God has intended it that the church should be a place that people come into, get all their papers in order, get all their stuff in order, and then are able to influence the world around them, to affect the other people around them that belong to that place. But you can't just randomly go and set up your own embassy. So I go to Spain, right? There's the embassy over there. I'm like, all right, embassy, nice. Got an embassy over there. I'll get a little apartment. I don't need to be part of that. I'm going to set up my own embassy. I'm going to give out passports. You know what that is? That's fraud. Because there's no delegated authority, there's no legal right. And how many of you know, there's loads of Christians. What happened in the pandemic is loads of Christians just decided that they wanted to go and start their own embassies. Without any spiritual oversight, without any empowerment, without any legality, spiritual legality. And it's a whole other subject that I don't want to get into. But what I'm trying to say is, that churches are God's idea. They're His places. Amen? And that's the main idea of what church is. Built upon the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of the living God. He is one in being with the Father and the Spirit. But they're three in persons. They have unique personality traits. But they're all part of the same species. They're what's called species unique. Amen? So that's the main idea. But then also, practically, church is about three things. Church is about people. I mean, if you know, it's not just an organization. Church is meant to be an organism. It's not just a robot. Church ain't a robot. Church is a person, if you want to make that comparison. How many of you know that there's a difference between an artificially intelligenced robot and a human being? Because human beings are organisms. We're made up of cells. You know, the cell, the things that they're finding out about the cell is so mind-boggling that it just smashes evolution to pieces. Just the fact of the cell. There is absolutely no way that by blind, uncaring chance, even the most simple part of an organism, the body, can come about. There are different proteins that are needed to even make one of these things, and there's different things that even are needed to make those proteins, and they have to act in total unison for even there to be one cell. You ain't going to do that by evolution, even over billions of years. It's never going to happen. Chances of it are just unbelievable. So churches are people. They're not just buildings, but they're people. So that means you are the church. I am the church. Amen. You're a citizen of heaven. How many citizens of heaven do we have in the house? Right? That means you're the church because you're part of that nation. But just like every nation has an embassy, so we have different churches located. I'll give you another kind of comparison. We have our government in the UK. Whoever the Prime Minister is right now, we've had several over the past few years. I know it's Rishi Sunak at the moment. Amen. And he seems to be doing okay because he's still there. Hallelujah. And we had dominoes, right? You remember that? It was falling like bricks. But they have this major government. They have this main government. But how many of you know we have Salford Council? We have Greater Manchester Council. We have Rochdale Council. We have Oldham Council. We have Trafford Council. We have Bolton Council. And you have that dotted about all over the nation. Amen? And what are they? They're the ones that implement the governmental decrees on a local level. That's what local churches are. Some people, they say, oh, I don't need to be a church. I'm part of the kingdom. That's like saying, I live in Trafford, but I don't have to pay council tax because I'm following the government in London. Good luck with that. Good luck with that way of thinking. Amen. What's going to happen? You're going to get a massive bill. You're going to get a fine. You're going to get taken to court. You ain't getting away with that way of thinking. So God wants his people to be in alignment, to actually operate in the right way. Why? Because we are supposed to influence the world around us on behalf of where we come from. So churches are made of people. They're also places. You can't get away from the fact that an embassy needs a building. Amen. Governments need places to meet. Councils have council offices and places that they meet. So they're places as well. But they're also, churches are not just people and they're not just places. They've also got purpose. There's a reason that we're in. Centered on one person, Jesus Christ, and then everyone who believes in him and follows his teachings are his people. And his people come into churches and begin to learn about him. I mean, you know, everyone in this place is at a different level of learning. Some of you are still on the teat. Hallelujah. You're still on the milk. Some of you are eating steak. Right? Everyone's got different levels of their discipleship. But I don't even know, the people of God are everywhere. They're in sport. How many of you have seen them when they, you know, do all that, lift up their tops after they're scored? Amen. They're in entertainment. Although it's very difficult, I guess, to be a Christian in entertainment these days because it is so, at the moment, diabolically controlled. Especially Hollywood and, you know, all of those, you know, main elites. They have a massive agenda. Disney and all the rest of it. Unbelievably outrageous agendas that all these great big studios have. But there's still Christians there. They're in business. Lots of Christian businessmen. Thank God for that. We had Christian businessmen donate. You know, it's great being a Christian business person. But Paul told one of his churches, he said, remind those who are rich in this world, amen, that their money's not just for them. Live good if you're a millionaire. Live good. Hallelujah. If I was a millionaire, I'd be living good. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. I ain't going to be eating at the same places. Come on, somebody. I ain't going to be wearing stuff from TK Maxx. Would I like a good bargain? But you know what I'm saying. There's more of a freedom to do stuff. But there's a greater responsibility to do something eternal with that money. Because you ain't taking it with you when you go. How many of you know you can pile it in your coffin, but that's wherever it is you're going, it ain't going to be there when you get there. So we have all of these different people. Scientists are Christians. Some of the greatest science. The fact we can do science, The fact that we have the disciplines of science in our modern world today was because there were Christians that understood that God wanted the world to be understood. The world that he'd created it to be able to be understood. And so they started the great scientific disciplines. And we even have great scientists now, people that work on the genomes. In fact, lots of biologists now looking at the cell. You have lots of different people now that are looking at these different things that are becoming theists, deists. They're becoming people that believe in God. They believe in creation. They're starting to see that evolution implodes in its own, you know, lack of coherence. Got a lot in the healthcare. A lot of nurses, a lot of doctors are Christians. We even have a few politicians that are Christians, although there are very, very few of them. So church is a community of different people from different backgrounds who somehow belong together because at some point, somehow, their lives have been positively affected by that one person, Jesus Christ. Is anyone in this place can say amen to that? But you have to understand that it's not just an individual thing. It is an individual personal thing in your salvation. You don't get saved corporately. You get saved personally, but you can't live saved individually. It's like saying, I'm part of the body, I'm an arm, but you're not attached to the body. What are you? You just become armless, don't you? So church is a corporate thing. Church is a community of people that gather in different places. But we're all one church. We just have different, it's like we're one nation in the UK, but we have different embassies. You have different local governments. But we're all on the same thing. We're all on the same vision. We're all part of the same thing. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? There's a purpose in this. There's a purpose for people to gather in these places, and that is to bring the worship of God, the Creator, into the world that He created. It's to represent Him. It's to be His imager. It's to be His representative. There's a purpose for our salvation. And it's not just to get away from addiction and depression and loneliness. It's not just to live a better life for yourself. It's not just that you can have meaning and purpose. It's for a purpose. And that purpose is to represent God. Because other people need to know who He is. That He's real. What He can do. Ordinary people who follow an extraordinary person gather in different places to learn how to help other people find and follow that extraordinary person called Jesus so they can know and fulfill the purpose for their lives. Do you know the purpose for your life? Do you know what the purpose for your life is? It's really, really important that we get to understand the purpose of our life. And let me tell you, you don't often find the purpose of your life in isolation from everything else. More often than not, you find it in insulation. Why? Because you can be in isolation and you can find out what the purpose for your life is, but where's the witness? How many of you know there's lots of people in isolation decide they're going to be an apostle or a prophet? They're going to decide that they're going to do this or they're going to do that. But thank God there's some other people that come and talk sense to them. So church comes in all different shapes and sizes. So that whatever shape or size you are, you can fit somewhere. You know, it's in the Bible, there's no one prescription for how church should look. It's just who it is, the fact that it should meet together, and what it's meant to do. But the worship's not prescribed in the Bible. The building's not prescribed. Should it have a steeple? No. You'd be in a shape of a cross, doesn't say it anywhere. Should it be in houses? Sometimes. Should it be in buildings? Yeah, sometimes. So we gather in houses, we gather in buildings. Sometimes you can gather in cathedrals, but what's important is that we gather together for the one purpose of serving Jesus Christ. So we're the church. So that's church. But is it relevant? What does the word relevant mean? And that's been taken to some weird places as well in churches. Amen. Some people think that to be relevant means that you need to look so much like the world around you that they are comfortable with coming into your environment. But that's not what churches are meant to be. It's not just about you being comfortable in that environment in the same way that you were. It's like being a Christian witch. I've met people that say they're Christian witches. Well, I'm an addict, but I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian drug dealer. I believe in God, but I'm still shotting. Right? Well, I'm a Christian, but you're living in sin with someone who's you're not married to. Well, I'm a Christian, but I still thief. There ain't no Christian thieves. You're either a Christian or you're a thief. Are you with me? So it's not about blending in. It doesn't really matter what you dress like. There's no dress code to coming into church. We give dress codes to our teams and that because we're in representational ministry. Anyone can come to church wearing a miniskirt, but don't come up on the pulpit in a miniskirt. Amen? Especially if you're a man. Sorry, but I'm just saying. Come to church like it, by all means. Hallelujah. We want everyone to come to church. If you're messed up, come to church. If you're gay, come to church. If you're an addict, come to church. If you're living in sin, come to church. If you ain't married, come to church. Come just as you are. But don't expect to stay like it. Because God wants you to be the person He created you to be. Not the person society wants to mold you into being. Not the person that everyone else thinks you should be. Not even the person you think you should be. Some of you know, we are our own worst enemies. We think we should be all sorts of mad things. But what does God want? That's what He wants us to become. And that's what happens. So being relevant is not about looking like society. Being relevant is about being able to meet the needs of society. That's my definition of relevance. It's not about, you know, wearing skinny jeans now or baggy jeans now or sneakers or, you know, having certain hairstyles, beards, clean shaven, certain hair, tattoos, chains, you know, ripped jeans, whatever the relevant thing has been, right, in society, which basically means just fashion, right? Fashion. It's fashion. Well, I'm this and I'm that and I identify as this and I identify as that. It's stuff that's coming and going. It's just out there. But what is relevance? Relevance, my definition, is meeting a real need right now. If you've got a flat tire in your car and I pull up next to you on the side of the road and get out and give you a can of Coke and then say, here you go. Right? Stay hydrated. And then I get back in my car and I shoot off. Am I being relevant? I mean, I'm doing something good for you. But what you really need is someone to help you change your tire. And sometimes relevance, people think relevance is giving someone a bottle of water when they've got a flat tire. And sometimes the churches throughout the ages have been guilty of being relevant to society in the wrong way. Some of you know, good is not always God. You can give someone a bottle of water as he's about to enter hell. Or you can pray for his soul to be saved so that he doesn't enter hell. What one's the easiest thing to do? It's to ease someone. Oh, it'll be all right. Don't worry. You're a good person. I'm sure you're going to end up in heaven, even though they're sinners. Or to say to him, listen, how's your soul? Where are you going to go when you die? You know, one of the reasons I became a Christian is because a friend of mine asked me, where are you going to go when you die? And I was a drug dealer. I was allegedly a criminal at the time. Not good. It's not good. I wasn't doing good stuff. But inside, I had a corrupted, warped form of morality where I wasn't a grass, I wasn't a nonce, I wasn't this, I wasn't that. Come on, somebody. So really, I wasn't a bad person. I was just living this life, you know what I mean? This is just the life I'm living. But I'm not a bad person. How many of you had that thought process back in the day? That you weren't a bad person. Right? But you weren't. But he said to me, listen, bruv. He said, where are you going to go when you die? I'm like, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not a bad person. I started coming out with all this nonsense. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. And I'm not a grass. I'm not a nonce. You know, all the street things that are really important. But I was a thief. I was violent. I was a liar. Come on, somebody. I was a drug addict. I was hurting other people with what I was doing. And he said to me, that's not how it works. And then he began to explain the way of salvation to me. I thank God that someone was relevant in that time of need. I thank God. Amen? Because relevance is not what we think it is. Relevance is not just about playing Beyonce music and putting some Christian lyrics to it, maybe. Because Beyonce is as far away from God as, you know, as anyone right now, I would guess. You can't just put what it is that the world wants into your life and then just stick Jesus over the front of it. That's hiding behind religion. Amen? You can't do that. That's not being relevant. The word relevant simply means directly relating to the subject or problem being discussed or considered. Making a real difference right now. So in 2023, is the church relevant? Is this church relevant? Does it relate to what's going on? You have to understand, Victory Outreach churches are not like other types of churches. And they're not like us. Because God has given us certain things that we are to reach into and do and be relevant to. And that's okay. We're relevant in your life. When you came with a need, hopefully you got some of your needs met, right? You met some people that could help you out. There were some things that were addressed. One of the things we're known for, although it's not the biggest thing that we do actually, is to deal with addiction and crime and problems of that nature. That's a very, very small percentage actually of what Victory Outreach churches do. It gets highlighted a lot because it's a massive thing. It's a huge thing and not many people do it. Someone once said to me, I asked him, so what do you think of our church, Victory Outreach? What do you think of it? Pastor in the city. He said, Paul, he said, everyone loves what you do. I was like, oh, nice. He said, if I'm honest, everyone wants a bit of what you do. They want a piece of what you do. And what he meant by that was, they want to take the people that have been blessed, that have been changed and transformed, that have been discipled into their own ministry. After they've been blessed, transformed and discipled. After the hard work's been done and they're really on it and they're on fire, everyone wants them to come to their church. And sometimes they'll use them on their fundraising videos and they'll use their testimonies. Which is cool, fine, if that's what you want to do. But then he said this. He said, but no one wants to do what you do. But that's only one little thing. Don't forget, we have business people in the house. We have professionals in the house. We have family members. We have parents in the house. We have authors in the house. TC Publishing, hallelujah. Huh? Vicky Lloyd, Cancer Versus the Bionic Me. Teresa John, Urban Psalms. Paul Lloyd, leading broken people. And not, by the way, not leading broke people. I mean, we ain't leading broke people. We're leading people that are not broke. Hallelujah. We're leading people to get a breakthrough in the area of their finances. How many of you want a breakthrough? Are we relevant? Understand, being relevant doesn't necessarily mean being popular. Right? Because if you've got a puncture on the side of the road and I've got a car full of people that need to get somewhere, but I stop to help you change your puncture, I might not be popular with the people in my car. Because they have an agenda. And how many of you know there are loads of agendas in the church? Everyone's got an agenda. Right? And the mad thing is, people want to go and do their agenda, but they don't want to do the church's agenda. What's wrong with that picture? Amen? Do both. Do both. We're meant to do both. It's not either or in this thing. People got to get away from the mentality of either or. I can either do God's business or I can do my business. And don't think that just doing your business and putting God on it means that it's God's business. Right? So being relevant is not necessarily being popular. But is it meeting the needs? Is church in this day and age meeting the need? Is it just old-fashioned and boring? There's lots of churches that are, you know, they're doing the next thing really well. They're looking to do the next thing, cutting edge, right? Which is great, and we need to be more cutting edge. Amen? But it's, some people, I was watching my son play football yesterday. He played brilliant. He's a goalkeeper for his team. They won 4-2 against a team that beat him before. Hallelujah. And I'm like one of those dads that comes from road, you know what I mean? I'm a pastor, but when I'm on the sideline, you know, I'm a fan. And you know, sometimes they get a little bit testy, don't they? I think games get a little bit chesty, you know what I mean? People are doing things, making tackles, saying stuff, and I'm like, I want to run on the pitch sometimes. I forgot what I was going to say. Something to do with being old-fashioned and boring. Maybe I am. Yeah, forget that. I'm just letting you feel it the way I am right now. It's a really important point. I'm 55, man. It's hot. Some people say church is not relevant. See how I've moved on. Some people say church is not relevant because you can't prove that God's real. You can't prove God's not real. One leading scientist said, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Amen? You have to understand, not everything a scientific person says is scientific. Just as not everything a pastor says is spiritual. Sometimes pastors lose it as well. I am the case in point right now. Because I had a really, really important good point and I got sidetracked by wanting to run on the pitch and fight one of the other dads. People are limited, man. But God is not. Are we relevant? Are we doing what it is that God wants us to do? Or are we just doing what it is that we've always done? Do we need to shift things and change things? Because society is shifting and changing. Yeah, in certain ways. There's certain questions that we need to look at right now that maybe they weren't looking at 20 years ago. But how many of you know, some people say, oh, the world's getting worse. You know, church is much more difficult now. The questions that we have to answer are so much more difficult. The world's becoming, you know, more sinful. Read the epistles. The epistles were written to correct wrongdoing in church 2,000 years ago. Someone was sleeping with his father's ex-wife, or you know, someone was doing this, someone was living in sin, someone was lying, someone had cut out from the church and wanted to go and live with the world. You got your demises and you got your different people that were happening. It's always happened. And church has always been relevant. Why? Because church is still here 2,000 years later. There's two ways that churches work, naturally and supernaturally. This is where it helps to work out whether the church is relevant or not. So naturally, churches as places can be traditionally used for weddings, funerals and baptisms, dedications, we're going to have some dedications. They can be food banks, we had a grocery, they can be distribution centres, and that's how the governments and many people see them. That's what they're for. But how many of you know, that's just naturally. And naturally, Christians are people like everyone else. We make mistakes. Are you with me? We make mistakes. But I want you to get away from the thinking that you're just a sinner saved by grace. You are, but once you've been saved by grace, you're a saint. You've got to start thinking different. Because otherwise you can use that as an excuse to keep sinning. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just doing what it is I'm doing. I can't help it. You know, stop it. Once you've been saved, you're a saint, you live different, you're part of a different nation. It's like once you get a British passport, you're British. Amen. Yeah, you can still have cultural flavor. You can still have memories. There are still some things that you can blend into that. But at the end of the day, you're part of the UK. You can't just switch it. Too many Christians have dual passports. I'd love to have a dual passport. I'd love to have an EU passport. I'd love to have three passports. I'd love to have a UK passport. I'd love to have an American passport. And I'd love to have some sort of EU passport. Because when I travel, immigration is such a pain. When we went to America the last time, we flew into Texas. And then me and Thomas got pulled into immigration. We went out the back with all the cartel bosses and the drug mules and the lunatics. And we're sitting there going, what is this all about? Amen. And you know what it was? They didn't believe Thomas was 16. They thought I was trafficking a man. In his passport, he's got this picture of this little, you know, soft-cheeked, chubby-looking little, you know. 10 years ago, dude, you know what I mean? He was six. Right? He's like. And the bloke at immigration looked at him and went, how old are you? He went, I'm 16. Or actually, he went like this. I'm 16. And I said, yeah, he's just gone, trying to be conversational. And he put his light on. Doot, doot, doot. Called this dude over to escort us out the back. And I had to check it. How old are you? But you got a beard. In fact, Thomas had more beard than the immigration officer. And I think it was jealousy that caused him to send us out the back. He was one of them hairless men. Like a mole or a vole or something, you know what I mean? One of them naked cats, them shaved cats. He was like a shaved bear. He had nothing, not even a hair, not even one whisker. Smooth looking man he was. Baby man. In a uniform. Power tripping. If you're listening, I've got you. We got your number, dude. But if I had a US passport, I'd just go straight through the line. I wouldn't even have to queue up. If I had an EU passport, now they love it when you go abroad. Oh, British, over there in the long line with the Russians and the Chinese and the people from Africa and Libya and all that, you go with them. Right? Long line. But you can't do that as a Christian. You can't have a passport for heaven and one for hell as well. Because you want to be relevant to your friends. You want to be relevant to your road men. You want to be relevant to your sisters that still go out and mess about. You want to be relevant to the people you grew up with, even though you've grown up from how you grew up now. You ain't the same version of yourself that used to grow up with them and run about doing them things. But when you go back into their environment, do you get your old passport back out? That's not relevance. That's irrelevance. Because their need is not that you act like them. Their need is that you act like Jesus so that they can get to know a new way, a better way, the way of salvation. supernaturally is where churches become more unique. Because churches, watch this, we've talked about embassies, but what they really are is interdimensional connection hubs. It's where heaven meets earth. When you walk through these doors, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, this is an embassy of heaven. This means that the ambassador is around. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring some Ferrero Rocher next time you come. Those of you that remember that advert. But when you come in, expect to hear from God, meet with heaven, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Expect to be challenged. Expect that those dark areas of your life to be exposed by the light. Expect it. And that's one of the reasons why lots of people don't want to come into a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, blood-washed, word-speaking church, is because they don't want to come in and be challenged. I had someone once say, in the lockdown actually, someone came to me and said, you know what, I'm going to be leaving the church, Pastor. I'm like, why? Well, every time I come to church, I feel like I'm always being challenged about stuff. I'm like, yeah, but you're a sinner, dude. Your life's messed up, man. Well, you know, I don't want that. Where are you going to go? It's lockdown. Well, I don't know. I'll find somewhere. Because you can change your attitude or you can change your address. But these are access points to things that we can't truly describe, but deep down we know that are true. They're places where you can find meaning and purpose. They're places when you can truly find dignity. Why? Because you find out what your real identity is. And your identity is not what you think it is, what you want it to be, what you feel it is, what society tells you it should be. It's what God has laid down. Your identity is in Him. You belong to Jesus. It's where you find meaning. What your life means. It's not just about having a great this or a big that, that is unattached. It's like having a massive left arm that's not attached to your body. When you pose, you're just going to be like that. Well, you don't look that big. You should see my left arm. Where is it? It's over there. This is what makes church relevant. Because it can give us answers from beyond our own limitations and from beyond our own present reality. And when you come, God is here and He makes sense of all the nonsense. Just one little word that He can speak into your life can make a shift and make a change and make a difference. Jesus once asked His disciples who they thought He was. Matthew 16, verse 13. It was in a particular place, and I'm not going to get into that, but it was this place, Caesarea Philippi, that was the place that was the base of all of the anti-God stuff that happened in the world. It was the base of the fallen angels. It was the base of sin. It was the base of everything. The land of Bashan, near Mount Hermon. And He said, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Because everyone has a different opinion of who Jesus is. Even sitting here in church, you might have a different opinion of who Jesus is. But then He says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter, Simon Peter, the man with the minty foot, hallelujah. Because he always had it in his mouth. It must have tasted nice. But this time he hits a home run. He says this, he says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. You have to be in the right environment, the right atmosphere, with the right people, the right things in place to learn what it is truly that is supernatural. Now I say to you, you are Peter. He's just changed his name. He says, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. That's powerful. When you have the true revelation of who Jesus is and what it is that he's building, then all of a sudden he gives you keys. But you've got to be able to use the right key for the right thing. How many of you have tried to use the wrong key for a door? I did it in a hotel. I'd gone traveling around. I'd gone from one hotel to another hotel. Gone from, I forget what hotel it was, a DoubleTree to a Hyatt or something. And how many of you know, sometimes you get to your hotel, you go up to your hotel, and you've got your bags, you're tired from traveling, you get up there, and you go like that to the keyless lock with your card, bing, red light. Ever happen to anyone? Tap, red light. Tap, 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 red light. You kick the door, it's still not opening. So you go, you take your bags all the way down to the reception. And you get a little bit grumpy. You walk up to the reception, and they have this insincere smile, don't they? Can I help you? Yeah, my key don't work. Just gone up 19 floors. Come on, somebody. Got to my door of my hotel that I've paid good money for, by the way. And my key don't work. You give them the key. This girl looked at it and said, this is the higher. This key's for the DoubleTree. Trying to use the wrong key. And sometimes you have to understand, if we don't get this right, we can be frustrated in the way that we live our lives. You've got to know what church is. You've got to know who it is. You've got to know what it does. You've got to know the relevance that it plays. You've got to know what it's meant to be doing. You've got to know that you're a part of it. You've got to stop looking at someone else as being the person who was, you know, who's going to be the Peter? You're the church. We're the church. Coming into this new season, there's got to be a greater sense of our purpose and our meaning. Would you all stand with me? Hallelujah. I'm finished. I'm done. It's hot. You're tired. You're hot. You're sweaty. You're uncomfortable. It's the UK. We don't have air conditioning. Well, we do. They're called windows. How many of you know, sometimes they don't work. I'm going to close with this. We're going to pray. Next Friday is the Jewish New Year. Means a new year, new biblical year is starting next Friday. Does that mean a new church year is going to start? I've always thought so. I've always thought, let's plan according to the Bible, not just according to the world. We think we're being relevant when we make resolutions on New Year's Eve that we break 2 weeks in. Why don't we make a resolution right now that this month we're going to get a new concept, a new meaning of what it is that we're meant to be and what it is we're meant to be doing. What we want this church to look like. Because listen, God wants you to take ownership of his church. He wants you to be engaged. He wants you to be present. He wants you to be involved. He wants you to sow. He wants you to give. He wants you to step up. He wants you to be counted. That's why I'm so encouraged about the new creative small group. Oh, it might not be everything yet, but people have taken initiative with that thing. I'm encouraged about the married small group that we have. I'm encouraged that there are people that want to invest in God's people and God's house. Their ideas, not just take the ideas from God's house and just go out into the world. Let there be a two-way door that opens. Let there be a two-way thing. I'm really believing, man, that this season is going to be the best season we've ever had. I'm excited about what's happening with the gang and the third wave. I'm excited about the home and the strength of the home. I'm excited that we've got three missionaries coming to this church in the next 2 weeks from America. People that are going to come in and help and undergird and bring passion and bring some different perspective. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the kids' gang and what's taking place in the kids' gang. I'm excited about what's going to be taking place with the guest services. I'm excited about the production. I'm excited about worship. I'm excited about all of these things. I'm excited that the giving has increased. I'm excited that people are becoming more generous. I'm excited that people are getting more blessed. I'm excited about people being healed. I'm excited about the testimonies that we're hearing. I'm excited. But I need you to get excited as well. I need you to get excited about God's church. I want you to be a builder and not just a consumer. I want you to be an investor, not just a consumer. I want you to have shares. My goodness, every one of you uses Amazon, probably, right? Amen. In fact, some of you, the Amazon people come and knock on your door and ask if you're okay if you haven't used them for 3 or 4 days. They send someone around. Hello, you alive? You ain't been around for 3 days. We're consumers. But how many of you would have liked to have been given shares in Amazon from the beginning? Imagine someone gave you 1,000 shares in Amazon at the beginning. You can have £1,000 or 1,000 shares. And you'd have took them 1,000 shares. You'd probably be a millionaire now. That's what happens. Father, I pray, God, in this atmosphere, in this time, in this season with your people, God, we're coming to a close of this eternity series, this forever series, and we're starting this new season. We're starting this new place. I'm feeling it. I'm desiring it. I'm wanting it. I'm needing it, oh God. I pray that your people in Manchester, in the UK, in Europe, in Victory Outreaches around the world, Lord God, would be in this new place. A place where we're not on the defensive. The church is never meant to be on the defensive. We read that scripture, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But it actually means and says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand it. Because the church is on the offensive. May we understand that we're an embassy. May we understand we have authority. May we understand that you want us to influence culture around us and not just be influenced by the culture around us. May we understand that you want us to take a stand. May we understand that beneath our feet is solid rock. May we understand that we're important, we're valuable, we're loved, we're gifted, we're different, and we're relevant. Just lift up your hands if that's you, if you want to be a part of who God is and what He does. And just start to pray right now and say, listen, wherever I've done before, wherever I've been before, wherever I've been doing, let me get my heart right with you, oh God. Let me get back into my groove. Let my mind come back into the place where Jesus Christ is truly the center. Not my will be done, oh God. Not my good intentions, not my good thinking, not my thoughts. But I want to give my life to you again, anew and afresh. I want to be involved in your will, involved in your ways. I want to get involved. I want to do it in the way that you want me to do it. Come out and join us at this altar for a minute. We're just going to worship for a few minutes because we have something else to do after the service. But just come as a church. Come as a body. Come as people. Come if you've never come before. Come if you haven't come for a while. There's no specific reason. I'm not saying come for this. I'm saying come and just join together and worship the King of Kings. And let everyone know that this is an embassy of heaven. This is an embassy of heaven, and I want to be a part of it. I have a citizenship. There's power in our unity. There's power in it. There's power when we come together. There's power when we join together. Come and lift up your hands and your hearts and your worship. Just lose yourself in His presence. Come on. Let this be a new time, a new season. Draw a line under the past. Right now, I want to be part of your church, wherever it is, God. But I don't want to be someone that is just random. I don't just want to be someone that is just isolated. I want to do your will, my God. It's exciting. It's exciting to be in the center of God's will. It's exciting to be a part of His work. It's exciting. Is it perfect? No, He's perfect. You're going to come across messed up people? I hope so. Otherwise, we're just a little club. But are we changing? Are we growing? Yes. In the name of Jesus, we are. Speak it out. You have the backing of heaven. If you're an embassy of heaven, you have heaven's armies. You have heaven's resource. You have heaven's backing. You have heaven's authority backing you up because you're a citizen of heaven. Listen to this. Close your eyes. Listen to this. Let it enter and build faith. Let it enter and build faith. Listen to this. Using that analogy of an embassy. If you're in trouble in a different land and you make it to your embassy, it's much better for you. If someone tries to do wrong to you in another land, and you contact your embassy. If someone takes you hostage in another land and you're a citizen of the UK, for example, they're sending the SAS in. Special forces are going to come in and they're going to extract you from that situation. These highly trained, well-resourced, professional soldiers are going to risk life and limb to come and extract little old you from the hands of your kidnappers. So if you are a citizen of heaven and the enemy takes you hostage, if you are a citizen of heaven and you get sick, if you are a citizen of heaven and you are having financial trouble, if you are a citizen of heaven and you're lonely and you're isolated, if you are a citizen of heaven and the enemy's lies are assailing you and you're locked up in a place and you can't get out and you're being attacked, guess what? When you contact the embassy, all of a sudden all the resources of that nation are put on high alert. All of a sudden the healing power of heaven is being released. All of a sudden angels are being released. All of a sudden heaven's special forces are hunting down your captors. All of a sudden they're looking for you. They're going to come and they're going to extract you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to stand in the way of your enemy. They're going to release a power upon you. There's going to be resource released to you. But you say, why doesn't that happen? Sometimes it don't happen because you ain't in contact with your embassy. Sometimes it don't happen because you're not connected with your embassy. Sometimes it don't happen because no one in your embassy knows what's going on.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.